Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, hey, welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur. I am your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today popularized secular evangelism in 1983 when he worked with the Macintosh division of Apple. He is currently the chief evangelist of Canva, an online and easy-to-use graphic design platform. He is also the author of 13 books, including Art of the Start 2.0 and Enchantment. His books are used by some of the finest academic institutions and have been New York Times and Wall Street Journal bestsellers. My guest gives over 50 keynote speeches a year on topics such as innovation, enchantment, social media, evangelism, and entrepreneurship. His clients include Apple, Nike, Audi, Google, and Microsoft. Now, let's hack Guy Kawasaki. I want to take a moment to thank today's sponsor, WP OnCall. They will take the pain out of using and maintaining your WordPress website. With unlimited support tasks to make any changes or improvements to your site, you won't waste your staff's time or have to hire a designer for every little update to your site. They'll update your plugins to keep your site secure, and if they find a security issue, they'll fix it right away. It's like having a team watch over your site, making sure everything is running smoothly and secure without having to hire another employee. Plans start at just $29 per month with no long-term commitment. If your site is important to your business, you need the peace of mind that comes with WP OnCall support. And for being a Hack the Entrepreneur listener, they will do a free website assessment to tell you where things can be improved and what maintenance is needed. Go to wponcall.com/hack. That's wponcall.com/hack. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. This episode is extra, extra special because of the guest today. Guy, thank you so much for joining me today.
Sure. What else would I do on a Friday afternoon?
Excellent. All right, let's do this. Guy, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
I work my ass off.
Yeah.
By far. I mean, nothing even comes close. I just work hard.
It's crazy how much that actually will just... I was at a conference last week and I realized that that was my answer for almost everybody's question they had for me, was really be human and work harder than everyone else. And yeah, it's a guaranteed recipe.
Yeah. Too bad we can't charge for that advice, huh?
But you do. And have you always had this work ethic, Guy? Or is this something that you've sort of had to, or that you realized was necessary?
I think it's Asian DNA. We just, you know, I was born that way. I don't know. I also am a big fan of a woman named Carol Dweck, D-W-E-C-K. She's a Stanford professor. And you know, her theory is that her book is called Mindset. And there are fundamentally two kinds of mindsets. One mindset is that, you know, you're limited, you cannot do it, whatever. The other mindset is I can do it, I can try. Now, there's some limits, right? So no matter how hard I try, I'm not gonna be playing in the NHL. But if you believe that, you know, that somehow you're set to a certain capability, to a certain level of accomplishment, and you believe that, then you'll never achieve anything more. But if you have a growth mindset where you can get better and you can do other things, then that is a much better mindset that will enable you to accomplish more. So I definitely have the growth mindset to a limit.
Exactly. And so I like how you say, obviously, there's certain skills that each of us will never be like an expert at or the best at. But do you even think you have to be like the best in the world at something to succeed? Or can you just be pretty good at a bunch of stuff and just kind of work your ass off?
I kind of subscribe to your theory. I mean, if you compare two very different things, so let's say you aspire to be a professional athlete, right? So I don't know. I don't even know how many baseball teams there are. I don't know.
Neither do I.
Okay, so let's say it's 25 baseball teams or 25 NBA teams or 25 NHL teams or NFL teams, right? So let's say 25, and I don't know, there's 20 on the roster. So that's 500. And then let's say that we're off by a factor of two, so it's 1,000. So there's 1,000 in each sport. Let's say there are five major sports. That's 5,000, right? So 5,000 professional athletes represent probably 5 million kids who tried to get there, right? It's like some ratio like that, right? Mm-hmm. On the other hand, if you go to Apple or Google, they each have, I don't know, 25,000 people making $150,000, you know, each. And now there are some superstars in those circumstances also. But, you know, Apple has 50,000 employees making a really great living, and all professional sports has 5,000. So, you know, what should you go for? Let's see. At some level, it's just math, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay, so if I get my story correct, you went to school and got an MBA.
Yes.
You worked for one company.
Yes.
That led into another small company called Apple, I believe.
Yeah. That's one way of remembering.
And you spent some time there. But then there was this time sort of that seems to happen in every sort of entrepreneur's life when they realize that they either need to make something really big themselves in the world, or they simply can't maybe work for somebody else. But I believe it was about 5 years after you joined Apple that you founded your own software company, right?
Yes.
So how did this happen for you? How did you make this realization that, maybe I need to go do this myself?
In one sense, I was at Apple for 3 or 4 years, and I started believing that, wow, there's great opportunity in the Macintosh software market. And so, you know, did I want to be like a Mitch Kapor or a Bill Gates or a Fred Gibbons? I hope people recognize these names. These are software entrepreneurs. Or I could be, you know, just stay as a highly paid but wage slave of Apple. And so I wanted to be an entrepreneur. Although with hindsight, you know, if I had just shut up and stayed at Apple, seriously, if I had stayed at Apple from 1983 till today, we would not be having this recording, because
that would have been unfortunate.
Yeah, you would be talking to my people's people about scheduling me. So, you know, it all sort of works out in a bizarre way, I guess.
So, okay, so this wasn't supposed to go this way, but I'm interested. How does that feel? Like, you, there's this company, Apple, that is like changing and has transformed the way people communicate and do a lot of things, and is becoming one of the wealthiest companies in the world. Mm-hmm. You were in it near the beginning, if not the beginning. And then you've gone on and done all this other stuff. I mean, and Apple itself did some crazy stuff, and then kind of almost like, I mean, from the outside, it seemed like it kind of almost disappeared, and then it made this big resurgence, right? Mm-hmm. So, but how does it feel to be like, there was this path that could have happened for you? You're right. And you would have been an ultra billionaire probably at this point from it. But it,
I mean, you know, I understand what you're saying. To make it even worse, you know, I quit Apple twice. If I had stayed either time, and then to tell you the truth, about, you know, 15 years ago or so, I was called by the venture capitalists who funded Yahoo. And they asked me if I wanted to interview for the CEO position of Yahoo. And this is way back when. This is, you know, the first adult CEO of Yahoo position. So in a sense, I don't know why you're bothering in and interviewing me. Like, why would you interview somebody who's so stupid as to turn down the opportunity to interview for a CEO of Yahoo and quit Apple twice? I mean, this is not good interview material. You should go interview someone smart, not me.
You are, before you even said that part, I was going to say, the world wouldn't have a lot of the stuff you've created, like Art of the Start,
yeah.
Now 2.0, but Art of the Start and Enchantment,
yeah.
Two amazing books that every entrepreneur or even person who just like wants to use the web should read. And
hallelujah.
We wouldn't have those things without that. And I was joking, like I'm laughing as you were saying it, because I mean, it must be a thing to that you have to like you're the person in it. So it must be hard to sort of deal with it or whatever. But also at the same time, it's what makes us entrepreneurs is that we don't take the one path where we just stick with the company that we start with and just go for our whole career. It's just not in our DNA, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, that's one explanation.
And you've done amazing things since then. Like, truly. Things that have changed and exponentially, like with the writing and the work you've done with like your speaking and stuff, you've probably created a ripple effect of other people who have gone on and done amazing things with that, which to me is super powerful.
Well,
and kind of everlasting.
Well, thank you. I mean, you know, you're delving deep into my psyche now. It's an interesting question. You know, I mean, you could make the case that, you know, John Ive and Tim Cook have done orders of magnitude more than I have. You know, they like change expectations of design and user interface and what a product could do. So who am I? I wrote a few books, you know?
Of course. But I mean, who are any of us, right? I mean, I have a podcast.
Well, but you know.
So obviously I could look up to you and be like, oh my goodness, you know what I mean? And then there's always somebody ahead of us.
That's true. And, you know, no matter what anybody else does, in a sense, you have to measure up to Steve Jobs. So, you know, and nobody's going to measure up to that.
The immeasurable. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess, you know, I think maybe we're thinking too much. I mean, if you go through your entire life saying, boy, if I had only stayed at Apple, I'd be happy. You fundamentally probably wouldn't be happy anyway. I don't know. I don't think you can look at life. Well, certainly I have rationalized that you cannot look at life that way.
No, you can't. And I fully agree. No, and I fully agree that you can't. And I mean, in accomplishment, you're ahead of me. And in years with age, you're ahead of me. But still, to this day, I would like to think that if I was anywhere even remotely close to your position that you were at my time, I would still like to think that I would make the same sort of choices you did. Because it just seems like, I don't know. It seems more adventurous. It seems more entrepreneurial. It seems more like.
Wouldn't you just rather be a filthy rich asshole? I mean,
I don't know. It sounds great. And it's probably boring after the first week or two.
Yeah. Well, if I ever get there, I'll let you know.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, but
on the other hand, there's another way of looking at this, right? So the other way is who's better off today? You and me or Steve Jobs, right?
Well,
because. Yeah. For all the billions and the fame and the power, and like he's off the scale, right? But he's not alive.
Yeah, no, exactly. All the money and power doesn't buy you extra life.
It doesn't buy you immortality.
No, it doesn't. And there was, I mean, I guess from the little bit I know of his story and obviously all from like other sources, it's he made a lot of sacrifices to do business-wise what he did in his life and in with people around him, right? So I don't know if it's worth it. We'll never know, right?
I don't know what sacrifices he truly made. So, but you know, I could tell you, I mean, if you want to be an entrepreneur, at some level you start by answering simple questions like what if or isn't there a better way or isn't this interesting? And you know, things sort of snowball, you know, simple questions. So you build the prototype and it becomes a product and the product sells, and then there's another product line extension, and you know, one day you wake up and you're Apple. But so that's the way it goes. But I think when you look back, the companies that truly matter, truly matter. I mean, they changed the world. And Apple changed the world. Now, if you had told that to Stephen Woz in 1976, they probably would have laughed at you. So I think it's all about entrepreneurship is, you know, you answer these simple questions, things snowball, and then when all the dust settles, you say, huh, you know, I really did make a dent in the universe. I changed the world. Mm-hmm. And what's wrong with that? Nothing.
There's nothing at all wrong with that, no.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, guy, let's go back right straight to you now. You are working your ass off now, and you have been for your whole career. Do you have right now a set sort of morning routine to set yourself up for the day and work your ass off?
I get up at about 7:10. At 7:30, I take my son to school. I stop at a coffee shop, eat breakfast, answer email for a few hours, and then I go play hockey for 2 hours. And then I answer email, and then I go pick up my son, and I come home and I answer email. Are you seeing a trend here?
I may be seeing a trend here.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Hockey. Hockey is the trend, right?
No, email is the trend.
I didn't think that you played hockey, though. That's pretty cool.
I played hockey this morning, and I might go play now.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool. And the email.
Depends how long this interview goes.
Yeah, it's... uh-huh. Okay, so there's this thing that everybody's into. The experts talk about the 80-20 rule, right? Yeah. Do 20%, get 80% of the results. Do what you're good at, but then delegate the rest. Guy, I would love you to tell me something that you are absolutely not good at.
It's not that I'm struggling because I'm perfect. I'm just trying to figure out the best answer for you. I don't think I'm particularly good at managing people. I don't have the right sort of, you know, demeanor and manner and bandwidth to like help people formalize their goals, actualize their goals, all that kind of stuff. You know, I have very poor bedside manner. I have zero patience and I can be harsh. You know, I don't know. I mean, but part of it is I'm 61 now. And you know, when you reach 61, the clock is definitely ticking. I mean, it was always ticking, but now, you know, I'm on two-thirds dead, right? And you start realizing that, you know, you don't have to put up with this bullshit. And I turned on a lot of stuff. And I have this new rule for myself that I won't get on an airplane for free. Lots of people, you know, they want me to, you know, the typical pitch is, yeah, you know, come to Singapore or come to Croatia or come to, you know, South America or come to whatever. And, you know, we're going to have 1,000 people in the audience and they're entrepreneurs and they're going to learn a lot from you. And this is a great opportunity to get connected to the entrepreneurship in our country. And we'll set up a time where you can meet with the, you know, the assistant secretary of commerce for our country. And, you know, maybe you can meet the president of our country. And like, I tell you, honestly, I don't care. I don't want to meet your assistant secretary of commerce. I don't care about meeting your president. I don't do things for strategic reasons anymore. Either I'm with my family or you're paying me money. Those are the only two conditions. I don't, and you know, a lot of people, they don't know how to react to that because, you know, they think that people should be honored to meet the assistant minister of commerce for some country. I could care less. What, you know, I've been in many of those conversations and all they say is, yeah, we really want to support entrepreneurship and, you know, we're going to study it and what laws can we change? And then, you know, next time you look, the guy got unelected and then, you know, he's a different assistant secretary of commerce. So don't get me started.
I think that there's probably so much to be learned from that attitude, though. And you say it's because you're, what, 61 now that you now have this, like, you have to pay me to get on the plane. You have to, like, I don't just want to meet people and stuff. But there's probably so much to be learned for all of us from that sort of attitude, because we have to really, we only have so much bandwidth and so much time.
Yeah.
No matter what stage we are at our life, we still have a finite amount of time.
Well, that's true. But, you know, when you're young, you have to pay your dues. When I was young, I got on the plane for free a lot.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know, I kind of divide my career where when I was young, I was underpaid. And now I'm old, I'm overpaid. Really? I'm serious. And so if you knew what I charge for a speech, you would be shocked. It shocks me.
That's
so sense. So now I have this attitude that I don't do things for quote-unquote strategic reasons. I don't do things for building future relationships. I'm doing things for now. This is the time I am reaping. I am not sowing anymore.
Okay, so you're doing things for now. So this is a great segue into what I loosely call projects.
Yeah.
So projects can be anything you want it to be, whether it's a new book or new venture, right? How at this stage you want to reap the rewards right now, but how do you, Guy, determine what is the right project or a new book or something you want to do right now?
Well, it's not very scientific or analytic. Basically, I either fall in love or I don't.
Nice.
So I fell in love with Canva. I think Canva is a fantastic tool that's going to democratize design. So, you know, to my utter surprise, I became the chief evangelist of that company. When I decide to write a book, it's because, you know, I fall in love with the idea. I don't really do any market research or anything. I don't do any forecasting. In the case of The Art of Social Media, Paik Fitzpatrick, my co-author, forced me to do that book. So that was an unusual case. But in most instances, like right now, I'm thinking of writing a book called How to Design Your Life.
Nice.
And, you know, I can't prove that there's a market for that, but I think it's a great topic. And so that's how I do things. If people think I have this master plan and a strategy and all that, I hate to disappoint you, but I don't. Not at all. Not even close.
I love it. Is it like a gut feeling you get about
something?
Yeah,
I mean, I just fall in love with stuff and I do it. That's it. It's that simple.
That's pretty cool. I like it. All right, Guy.
Yeah.
let's just wrap up on your career, your success that you've had and what you have accomplished. Okay, you've done more things than most people can imagine to do. You've touched companies that have gone on to do amazing things, and you're working with ones now like Canva that have done amazing things and are going to. Even long after you, probably. And then same with your books and the writing. They will. These books, Enchantment is an amazing book that everybody has to read. How does it feel when you stop right now and sort of look back at where you've come from, what you've done, and what you've accomplished to now? How does it make you feel?
Well, you know, at the end of my life, I want people to say that I empowered people. I helped them change the world, right? So that's my goal. I must admit, I don't sit around considering myself a huge success. And this is kind of bizarre for me to say, but it's because in Silicon Valley, you know, a huge success is Steve Jobs, Larry Ellison, Bill Gates, whatever. And I live in a very, very warped bubble of a place.
You do.
So on the one hand, negatively stated, you could say, Guy, you know, you're hallucinating. I mean, why are you like not satisfied? On the other hand, it's still what drives me. So I'm not sitting fat, dumb, and happy. I don't know. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, I think it does definitely have to do with where you live right now in this.
I live in a bizarre place. But, you know, one of the outcomes of bizarre places like this is people try to do more. I mean,
exactly.
You know, could I live in Bhutan? I don't know, honestly. I don't know if I could.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, Guy, I just want to just personally thank you for the work you have done, the work you're continuing to do, and the work you're going to do. Because I know personally it has helped me a lot, and I know that there are lots of people out there.
That's very satisfying to hear. Because, you know, I believe at the end of one's life, it's not how much money you made and, you know, how big your house is or how fast your car is. It really is, you know, have you made the world a better place? And the way I have chosen to make the world a better place is through writing and speaking and advising and hopefully inspiring some people. And I want to empower people. So that's my scorecard.
Yeah. And I think you've scored like ridiculously high on that.
Thank you.
Just thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for what you do. Please keep doing it because it is awesome and inspiring to watch.
Take care. All right. Thanks.
My pleasure.
Okay.
Wow. That was an exciting and fun conversation. It went a few weird places near the end, which I'm glad we resolved, Guy and I. So it's good. And I hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as I enjoyed partaking in that conversation. Because Guy is somebody I've wanted to speak to for a long time, and we had to play with our schedules a bit, and we finally got to sit down together, and it was really, really a lot of fun. So obviously, Guy's written a ton of books. He's advised some amazing companies. He's been an evangelist for some amazing companies. He's had a huge, long, brilliant career. And during this conversation, he said a lot of things. And so I've got this list of things that he said. But I think I need to take it right back to the beginning. Right at the beginning, he said something that was very, very, very key. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
If you believe that, you know, that somehow you're set to a certain capability, to a certain level of accomplishment, and you believe that, then you'll never achieve anything more. But if you have a growth mindset where you can get better and you can do other things, then that is a much better mindset that will enable you to accomplish more.
And that's the hack. Guy, thank you this really needs to be clarified, and this is so essential to your success and to you becoming the entrepreneur that you want to be and doing the things that you want to do. If you believe that you are somehow limited to a certain level of accomplishment or a certain capability, then you will absolutely be limited to that. You need to have what Guy calls the growth mindset, which is the mindset that you can teach yourself or push yourself to do anything if you push yourself hard enough and you try enough things, right? Like, what's the best way to create a successful business? Go out and start 10 of them, because one of them will probably succeed. Not start one business, because, I mean, start them all in a row, but have the mentality that you're going to start 10 of them and that the 10th one is going to be successful. Don't be like, okay, I'm finally going to start a business, put everything into it, do it, and then it fails, and then I guess I'm not an entrepreneur. It's like, yes, you are. You're absolutely an entrepreneur. You have to have this growth mindset, and you have to know that if you put in the effort, you will become this. Entrepreneurs are not born. They are not at all. They're actually created just through mindset, determination, and a willingness to really work hard. And Guy, I mean, has proven that time and time again. And I'm so glad that he brought this up. And I'm so glad that we got to bring the conversation right back to the beginning, because I think it's so, so essential. Have a growth mindset. Know that you can teach yourself, and know that your capabilities are only limited by your willingness to work hard at them. Thank you so much, Guy. That was awesome. All right. That wraps up another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. You know how much this means to me that you're listening. And I really, really just want you to know that. Email me if you would like, John, J-O-N, at hacktheentrepreneur.com. Tell me if you have any questions. Tell me how I can help you. I would love to help. That's John at hacktheentrepreneur.com. All right. I hope you had as much fun as I did. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.